First time we've ever been in hall. I'm not sure about just where we're at. There's a couple of little towns in here, and I think this is hall that we're in. All right, we're certainly glad to be here in hall, and the people have been real nice to us. Count it a real privilege to come in here and minister to you and tell you about Jesus. You know, I was just talking to my wife over in the late evening. It's almost unbelievable the outlook that the church has got concerning the things of God. The church is in such a condition until it's hard to believe. Being acquainted with the church and the people and traveling around across the different parts of the country, different parts of the world, it's hard to believe the concept that the church has got of Christ and the things of God. It's really hard to get a hold of. Years ago, people believed that you had to serve Jesus to get to heaven. They don't believe that anymore. They really don't believe that anymore. Now, some of you might look at me, you know, with a holler expression, but I'm telling you the truth. The church world doesn't believe that you have to serve God anymore to get to heaven. They feel like that grace is going to take care of it, and that all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. They're actually taught, you know, the Bible teaches in one place that it shall come to pass, who's ever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they believe that. Whereas that's wonderful to believe that. But there's a whole lot that goes along with that. You know, you've got to understand what God is saying. The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he turns right around and said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So then there's a whole lot to understand. I could come through as an evangelist. I could take the scripture out of its context and I can just say, well, folks, all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord and we're all going to heaven. And then I leave you in that kind of condition. You take my word for it, and that's all you do. You just say, Lord, Lord. And then when the judgment comes, you find the Lord turning you away. And then you don't understand what happened. Because the preacher told you that all you had to do is say, Lord, Lord. But folks, I tell you in the name of the Lord tonight, the Bible said, he that doeth the will of the Father. Thank you, my brother. That's the one that's going to be saved. Is he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. And you remember these words that Jesus said. Jesus told them, he said, you pray always. Now, are you listening to me tonight? He said, you pray always. Meditate in the laws of God day and night. Keep your mind stayed upon Christ Jesus. Bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He said, you pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth, and to stand before the Son of Man in that day. You pray always. Now, when we look at those things, and the things that I quoted last night, some of the scripture there, I spoke of it, many shall try to enter in and shall not be able. When you consider those things, it makes you to know that the church world has the wrong concept of God. The church world is far from being in condition to be saved. Right at this moment, when we think about the church world, we think, well, the coming of the Lord is at hand. And that means that everybody is right in line to be saved. But to the contrary, at the coming of the Lord, at that very moment, God speaks of what he calls the Laodicean church. And the word Laodicea means people's rights. That it would be a moment when everybody, from the woman to the child, would be hollering for their rights. Every kind of people, every nationality, every country would be crying for their rights. Rather than being a people that's willing to forsake their rights, forfeit their rights to everything and cry for the rights of God and cry for the will of God to be done, he said it would be a people that would be Laodicea. He said they will be lukewarm. He said they will say that we are rich and that we have need of nothing. Now that's the church world today. Nice big cathedrals. People are prospering. They've got cars, automobiles, homes, everything. We are rich. God is with us. And we have need of nothing, they will say. At that Laodicean moment, at the coming of the Lord. But listen to what the Lord says. He said, ye are wretched, ye are naked, ye are blind. Did you know it's a shame to go naked? Did you know the people are going naked today? I'm talking about the church world now. They're literally going naked. The Bible said when the Lord found them over in the garden, he found them naked. And the Bible teaches it is a shame to go naked. Said when they found out they were naked in the garden, they were ashamed. Said because we're naked. And then in the Revelation, which is the last of the Bible, he said, ye are naked, and said you'd better do something lest the shame of your nakedness appear. Did you know the shame of your nakedness is beginning to appear? It's a shame for people to dress like they're dressing today. Absolutely ungodly and ashamed. It's a terrible age that we're living in. The church as a whole today not only wants to do these things that's contrary to the Bible, but they get all out of sorts and upset if you say anything to them about it. They not only want to do these things, but if you tell them that they are wrong in doing it, why, they'll get up and they'll walk out and they won't listen to you. Or they'll cut you off on the radio or TV or wherever you're at. And they'll go out across town and they'll blast your name everywhere. I'm talking about preachers will do it. What an awful condition the church world is in. Folks, I ask you this question tonight as a people that's come to this tent. Or as you that hear these messages. Do you really want to go to heaven? Are you really planning to go to heaven? Do you really believe in a life after this life? Do you really believe there is a God? Then we're going to have to act like it. We're going to have to live like it. We're going to have to talk like it. Folks, we're going to have to get away from the world out there. Did you know that? You cannot be part of the world and be part of what God's doing. I'll tell you, when you talk like that, people, they'll really get upset. They'll say, Brother Pike, there ain't nothing wrong with the world. But I tell you, according to the Bible, as a minister of God, and any true minister of God will have to tell you this if he's a true man of God, you cannot be partakers of the world and go with God and make it into heaven. You've either got to choose this world or the world to come. God will not let you go out into the things of this world and still be a child of God. The Bible said to love not the world. How are you going to love the world and love God? The Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not even there. Love not the world. It said neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the lust of the flesh. It's the pride of life, and it's the lust of the eyes. And the Bible said, in the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You love Jesus? I come here to Hall to talk to you about salvation. I come here to talk to you about the truth. You know why? Because I love your soul. Not only that, but one day, I'm going to have to stand before Jesus Christ. And he tells me to pray always that I might be accounted worthy to escape the judgments that's coming on this earth and to be worthy to stand before the Son of God in that day. And when I stand before the Son of God, I'm going to see you and you're going to see me. We're going to be there. Every preacher that you've ever heard, whether Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, Church of God, UPC, Christian Science, Catholic, it doesn't matter what kind, every one of those preachers is going to be standing there, and Brother Pike's going to be there too. You're going to be standing there. Every person that ever give a testimony, whether it was out of their own desire or ambition or for their own personal reasoning, they are going to be standing there in the judgment. Every creature is going to be standing there. Every person under this tent is going to be standing there, whether young or old. What are you going to say in that hour? What are you going to do in that hour? You say, Brother Pike, grace will take care of it. I promise you, by the word of God, grace will not take care of it. Grace is only for people that will do their very best to conform to the word of God. And then when they stumble or they come short of the word of God, when they have done their very best, then grace makes up for it. But the person that will not do their very best, they don't even have a right to grace according to the Bible. There is no grace for them. Now, I'm going to say this just before we read here. There is what we refer to as a dispensational grace. Now, I want you to listen. There is what the Bible calls a dispensational grace. The blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary, it atones for you during your lifetime to the extent that it gives you a lifetime that you might repent of your sins and call on Jesus. That is dispensational grace. And when the dispensation of the Gentiles is over, that grace is gone. It doesn't do you any good on the other side of the river. But there is grace, the Bible refers to it like this. The grace of God, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching them that denying worldly lust, that they should live soberly and godly and righteously in this present world. That is the grace unto salvation. That is the only grace that will take you over the river and be for you on the other side. Dispensational grace will allow for you in this life, even if you commit murder. You can commit fornication, but you may still live 50 years afterwards. But my brother, sister, when you get on the other side, if you don't have the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that taught you to live holy and godly and pure, and if you haven't lived holy and godly and pure, as I said last night, it doesn't matter who you know or what you belong to or what church you belong to, you are going to be turned into the flames. All right, I want to read just a little bit to you tonight and talk to you out of my heart. I say again, we can't help it because it's hot, can we? We tried to get some fans today. We tried. I sent some men around to see if they could get some of these great big fans to where we could set them around and blow on you, but we haven't been able to locate them. Maybe we can by tomorrow night or before the week's out. But we're trying our best to make it comfortable. We've had them to spray in here so that you wouldn't be bothered by the mosquitoes so bad. We're doing everything we can. But folks, it's hot. It's hot. It was over 90 degrees here in Hall today. It's hot. But did you know the Bible said because of the wickedness of the people that God is going to let the sun get so hot that it's literally going to scorch the people? He said it will literally scorch the people. And they'll be so upset that they will curse God and blaspheme God. They won't repent over it. They'll curse God and blaspheme God. It's going to get so hot. He said, I'm going to let it get so hot till it's literally going to scorch the people. So you just be thankful that it's cool tonight. Just be thankful that everything's at a moderate temperature, as we would say tonight, comparatively speaking. All right. I want you to read just a little bit with me. I want to take just a little of your time tonight to talk to you about Jesus. Let's turn over to the New Testament. Over to the book of Luke. Now, it's a strange thing, but here in this particular meeting, this meeting has to do with the coming of the Lord, and it has to do with the government shifting from the west back to the east. We had spoke of it, and this is the second night that the Lord has brought it into my mind and heart to preach concerning the things of Israel and the coming of the Lord. In Luke, the 21st chapter, if you've got your Bibles, let's read together. Luke 21, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, what then shall these things be? Or when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and into prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your heart not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren, and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. For there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, Behold, a fig tree, and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with servanting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out in a boat in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. All right, now, I want you to notice this. Jesus said, Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I said last night to some of you that were here, if you'll read in the book of Revelation, you'll find out that John said, I looked and saw the Ancient of Days that sit upon the throne. As I beheld, he said it was such a great exceeding sight until I saw the heavens pass away. I saw the earth pass away. There was no place found for the sea. The sea passed away. Everything passed away. This is what Jesus is speaking of here in the book of Luke. And heaven and earth shall pass away. But he said, My word shall not pass away. Though heaven and earth pass away, Jesus said, These words that I am telling you today, he said, You can trust these words, for these words shall never pass away. And at the end of the age, when the great Ancient of Days said, and when the heavens pass away, and when the earth passes away, he said, My word will still remain the same. There won't be any change in my word, Jesus said. It will still be that great foundation that you can stand upon. It'll still be the word that you can trust. Whatever the word has told you, when you stand before me in that hour, he said, I will not change it. I will not alter it. I will not change my word. Whatever I have told you, if you call me to record on my word in that day, it will be just exactly the way that the preacher told you that it was. If I can depend tonight upon God's word to be the same to save my soul, in the sense that he promised me eternal life, brother, sister, I must also remember that his word will be the same if it told me to live holy. If God said, I will not accept you, except you come out from among the world and be ye a separate people, we can rest assured that God will not alter that. God will not change that. It doesn't matter if Brother Pike tells you God will change it. It doesn't matter if somebody in a denomination tells you that they'll change it. It doesn't matter if somebody on radio or TV tells you that God will change it, or in that day that they'll change it for your sake. It won't be changed. It won't be altered. When God said you must be holy, for I am holy, he will not change it. Folks, you've got to be holy. Do you ever stop and look yourself in the mirror and say, God, that person that I'm looking at, he's got to be holy. She's got to be holy.
that God isn't going to put up with me doing anything else outside of being holy. That it doesn't matter what the minister tells me. The Word of God tells me that I must be holy. And the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. If that minister is sent from God, that minister will preach God's word to you. If he doesn't preach God's word to you, beloved friend, he is not the minister of God. If he preaches anything to you outside of God's word, then he is not the minister of God. God's minister will speak God's word. If I preach to you tonight the word of God, and you listen to God's word, in the day of the judgment, you will be accountable for God's word. Whatever God's word tells you, that's what it's going to be. You may shout, you may run, you may jump, you may holler, you may turn cartwheels, you may do anything that you want to do. You may fast, you may pray, but unless you live holy according to God's word, you're still going to hell. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people fasted. They fasted for many days. But God said, away with your fast, away with your solemn assemblies, away with your revivals, away with your doings. He said, all of it is an abomination in my sight. He said, if you want to fast, fast to make your voice to be heard on high. If you want to pray, pray to make your voice to be heard on high. If you want to do anything in the behalf of the kingdom of God, get in harmony with my word. You know, people make the great mistake of trying to fast God into harmony with them, or pray God into harmony with them, or they make the great mistake of trying to get God to do what they want to do. Men is full of ambitions. They want ministries. They want gifts. They want miracles. They want healings. They want businesses. They want money. They want conveniences. And they fast and they pray for all of these things. The Bible said they even fast to smite with the fist of wickedness. They even fast and pray that they might be able to debate to prove who is the greatest among them. But God said, that's wrong. I won't hear that kind of doing. You've got to live holy, he said. You've got to be holy. You've got to be clean. You've got to be upright. Did you know that people in the day that we're living in love pleasure more than they love God? The Bible said in the last days they'd be Laodicean. They'd be lukewarm. They won't want the gospel. If you can give them some kind of entertainment, if you can entertain them, the Bible said that they'll heap to themselves teachers. They won't take the men of God that God sends, but they'll heap to themselves teachers. They'll choose their own preacher. And they'll say, I like this preacher, and I like that preacher, and I'd rather hear this person over here. And they'll heap to themselves preachers. The Bible said they'll do it because they've got itchy ears. They'll do it because they want to hear what they want to hear. But brother, sister, you've got to accept God's word. If you ever expect to get into the kingdom of God, you're going to have to accept the word of God. God sends his ministers to the land to either bless you or to curse you. You know, as the American people, there is one thing that we ought to be acquainted with tonight. And that is, if we have honored God, if we have obeyed God as a nation, I speak to you as a nation, if we have honored God, if we've obeyed God, why is it that America is cursed with everything? Every kind of cursing. And the Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicines. Why is it the curse is upon the people? They're vexed all the day long. The Laodicean charge that God gives to the last church. He said, you are a wretched bunch of people. He said, you say that you're rich, that you have a name, that you live. He said, but you are dead, and twice dead, some of you, and plucked up by the root. And he said, instead of being rich, instead of being blessed, he said, you are a wretched people. We are dealing with a wretched people in the day we're living in. They'll kill you in a moment. They'll curse you out in a moment. They'll fight with you in a moment. Hippies, beatniks, running around doing everything that's ungodly, drinking and cursing, carousing and committing fornication. Read it in the book of Revelation. An angel flew through the heavens, and he cried to that last church age, and he said, Babylon is fallen, is fallen, is fallen. Said she has become the habitation of devils and of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Did you know that a few years back, the churches was a place to go to the house of God? It was a place you could fast. It was a place you could pray. It was a place you could find God's word. You could find rejoicing. You could find happiness. You could find peace. But today she's become the cage of every evil spirit, every unclean and hateful bird. When God refers to people that won't walk up right before God, he calls them unclean birds or unclean spirits. And instead of a church to protect saints of God, to where a body can come together and a brotherhood can come together, it's become a cage. And you're being caged up. What is it? You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Every unclean and hateful bird. I'm telling what the Bible said. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. God's word said, Babylon is fallen. She's fallen. Said she hath made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Said all the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The Bible said the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. He said, but her judgment is coming, and I shall burn her flesh with fire. For the Lord God that's strong shall bring judgment upon her. For she is the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. Babylon is fallen. Today, the church world is one big mass of confusion. Nobody knows what to believe anymore. Nobody understands what to believe anymore. There's been so many preachers that have preached their ideas and what they thought. And so many people have followed them until they've got people so mixed up that the ones that would listen to the truth can't understand anymore. All crossed up. It's become a place of confusion. It's become a Babylon. And people have decided to let the priest, are you listening? They've decided to let the priest pray the prayer and go on the way of the world and join up with Babylon. But brother, it's a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. It's like a Catholic priest that came to us not too long ago. He came to our place to hear the gospel. He said, I've been a priest for 27 years. I was schooled in the greatest schools of God, including Italy and New York and all over. For 27 years, I've deceived the people. I am a priest, he said. I have for 27 years deceived the people. I've told them that this way was right, he said. And lo and behold, God showed me I lied to them. And said, I've deceived the people. Said, the people are going to hell for following the priest. Just like those that followed me 27 years. Said, those people will go to hell unless they find the truth. Just like I would have. Folks, we need to stay with the word of God. He said, Brother Pike, will you take me down to the lake and baptize me in the lovely name of the Son of God and let me get straightened out? He went to Canada. He went to Denver, Colorado. He went to other places and he's come to testify and went to the Catholic bishops and popes and whatever. One of the greatest learned men I've ever met. Will he make it into the kingdom of God? That's between him and the Lord. At least he has seen. He has seen. Denominationalism. Folks, you need to come to the Word of God. It isn't just the Catholic Church. There was people in the Catholic Church that loved God. There's still people that's coming out of the Catholic Church that are converting to Christ that love God. But it isn't just that church that God refers to as Babylon. It says that she is the mother of harlots. Every church that refuses the Word of God is a harlot and a daughter to that great whore. It's a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Babylon is fallen. Babylon the Great is fallen. We need to love the Lord. We need to come to a holy life. You can't have a preacher to pray your sins away. It is a true fact that the minister has the power to remit sins. It is a true fact he has the power to retain sin. And the Bible said, as he remits, it shall be remitted. As he retains, it shall be retained. But it is also true that he does that according to your faith in God's Word. For if you believe God's Word, when he preaches God's Word, by your faith in God's Word, as Jesus said to the little woman, thy faith has made thee whole. Through faith in the preaching of the Word. Through faith in the Word of God, beloved friend. Through faith in the Word of God. Now, you know, I know that preaching out here, we get a little bit loud over the speakers. And not really loud at all. Not really loud at all. It's not that loud. But they asked us last night to turn the speakers down. Some of the people said it was disturbing them. How can God's Word disturb anybody? When we have ball games that's ringing all over the countryside and they never make them turn them down. Never. You say, but them people didn't come to church. God didn't tell me to come to preach to people that come to church. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Whether they want to hear it or not, preach the gospel to them. Because in the day of the judgment, they're going to be accountable. I've had to preach it in the field. I've had to preach it on the street. I've had to preach it when they wanted to listen. I've had to preach it when they didn't want to listen. I'll do anything I can to work with anybody. And especially with somebody that's been as nice as the policeman here. And as nice as our mayor that's been here. They couldn't be no nicer. But folks, let me tell you something. God's Word is supposed to be heard throughout the world. The Bible said their sounds went throughout the earth. It is our job to preach the gospel. It is our job to tell people about God. It is our job to warn the people. It isn't that the people are going to serve God. He told the prophet, he said, you go warn them. He said, I tell you before you go, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to hear you. He said, but if you don't preach to them, I cannot bring judgment upon them the day of judgment and be just. He said, you preach to them that my hands might be clean. When they stand before me, I'll say, I gave you a chance to hear the gospel. I gave you a chance to hear the Word of God. I gave you a chance to send a preacher to tell you about God's Word. He said, if you don't do it, he said to the preacher, to the prophet, he said, their blood's going to be on your hand. Their blood's going to be on your hand. I'm going to require it at you in the day of the judgment. He said, you go preach to them. They're not going to listen at you. He said, but if you don't preach to them, I'll require their blood at your hand in the day of the judgment. Folks, I'm here in Hall tonight to preach the gospel. Not because the people are going to hear it. When I leave here, as sure as I stand with this mic in my hand, when I see some of these people on the day of judgment, them people will be turned into the flames of hell. You know that as good as I know that. You know that they're not going to live holy. But I've got to preach the gospel to them. The Bible said before the end can come, the gospel must be preached in all the world for a witness to every creature. But he that heareth me, he that will honor my words, he that will do the thing that I tell him to do, on that great day when we stand before God. Beloved friend, I'll stand in your behalf. I'll stand there in your behalf. Paul said, I must present you as some people that are without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. I desire to do that. For I must present you to God. Everyone that ever hears my voice, everyone that I'm ever privileged to preach to, I'll have to be there with the rest of the ministers in that day, standing there either in their behalf or standing there to witness against them. I trust to the great God of heaven that when I leave this little place called Hall, that I can say that on that day I'll stand there and witness in the behalf of these people that God loves them and that they honored God and they followed God. I want to do it. Jesus said, if you go into a city and if they don't hear you, he said, shake off the dust of that very city that cleaveth to your feet as a witness and a testimony against them. And I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that people in the day of the judgment. Here in Luke, Jesus said, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Oh, think tonight. What if this was the night? What if this was the night of the coming of our Lord and Savior? What if this was the night and we looked away to heaven and all of a sudden we saw Jesus coming in a cloud of glory with great glory and great power? Think about it. What if this was the night? And he says here, he said, when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that this is the day of vengeance of all things. Last night, we preached from Zechariah. Behold, the Lord cometh. Behold, the Lord cometh. Here we are preaching in Luke tonight, preaching about the coming of the Lord with great glory. My dear beloved friend, the coming of our Master is at hand. The coming of our Savior is at hand. And we're standing here tonight pleading the cause. We're standing here tonight because we love you. We're standing here tonight because we want to tell you the truth. We've come here tonight to try to help you find your way in God. Listen to me tonight. You must be holy. You must talk holy. You must think holy. You must dress holy. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, dressing doesn't have anything to do with it. I want you to know the Bible teaches that you must dress holy. Sometimes I go into the islands, sometime down along the shores of the ocean in the different countries, and people seem to think because they live near the ocean that they can go half nude. I said, did it ever occur to you, my beloved friend, that Jesus walked along the shore of Galilee and that they lived down near the water, but they didn't go around nude? Somebody said, well, it's just so hot. Don't you know that the hotter it gets, the more clothes you have to put on? You go over into the foreign countries, into the desert, and strip your clothes off and see if it don't burn you until it burns you to death. You say, well, over here it's not quite that hot, and we just strip them off. But you know what God's going to do? God's going to make it quite that hot. Because you strip it off, God's going to make it so hot, He's going to scorch your body with the sun. Because you say you have to take them off. And you better believe you'll put on some clothes then. When that sun starts scorching, you won't have to worry about preaching against the ungodliness of dressing. You won't have to worry about people going naked. When the sun starts scorching their skin, they'll put on some clothes. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean about putting on clothes? The Bible said in the garden, He found them naked and God clothed them. Somebody said, well, God ain't concerned about clothes. Well, why did He put them on some clothes? If he's not concerned about it, why did he say, you better get some clothes on or your nakedness is going to show your shame? Why did he put him on some clothes? Somebody said, well, he just throwed him on a little piece of skin. The Bible said he clothed them with coats. Coats. God wants us to live holy, folks. There ain't no excuse for this church world the way it's doing. There ain't no excuse. You know what? Here's where the problem is. The church of today, they've got it in their mind because there's so many hundreds of thousands of people throughout the world that's dishonoring the Word of God, that God is going to spare the people and that God is not going to get upset with them and he's going to have to understand. But folks, you know that ain't right. The Bible said if God spared not Sodom and Gomorrah, but destroyed the entire cities and just saved Lot. And if God condemned the entire world and overthrew the entire world and saved just Noah and his family. And the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible said he never changes to every generation. He's the same. Then what makes you think that he's going to change today? It doesn't matter if there is 50 million people living ungodly. And if there ain't but three people, God will kill every last one of them and save those three people and start over. You say, I don't believe that. Well, he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I got the answer to it. The difference is Noah didn't have grace and we've got grace. The Bible said Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That grace was back yonder. The Bible said you're elect according to God's foreknowledge. Your grace comes from foreknowledge. They had grace of a foreknowledge. How many of you know that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death? How many of you know tonight if the church gets out of here, they've got to be translated by faith? So you can't say it's because of grace. Dispensational grace has nothing to do with it, beloved friend. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The church world has got it in their minds because of all of these television programs of them mixing everything in the world with religion, that God has accepted them people and God's going to let them get by with that. Don't you know that God isn't going to spare them? God isn't going to spare them just because they're on TV. What's that got to do with it? That's got nothing to do with sin. If I was on every TV station in the whole world, I still have to live godly. That doesn't spell anything when it comes to living an overcoming life. God expects me to live holy whether I preach on television or I don't preach on television. He expects them to live holy. They're going to stand there in that day with Brother Pike, and Brother Pike's going to stand there with them. You're going to stand there with us too. So I tell you tonight, if you're not living a holy life, then you need to live a holy life. He said, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. I want you to stand with me tonight. We're getting closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. This meeting in hall, as I said before, it has a great spiritual significance. It denotes a climax. It denotes a great climax. We're right now down to the crossing of the Jordan. It denotes a great climax. What are you going to do? You know, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you just don't understand. God has a certain thing for everybody. I want you to know that God has one thing for everybody. Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all of them. All of them. He doesn't have but one rule. One rule. That's the mind of Christ, the Word of God. Everyone has to abide by it. He said, when I bring Zion again, the Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic, all of them will see eye to eye. Or they won't be in my ranks. Oh, when I bring Zion again, all of them will see eye to eye. All of them will speak the same thing. God has something tonight, beloved friend. As I said last night, it is the doctrine of Christ. Paul calls it the doctrine of Christ. This great apostle Paul, that so many great ministers and denominations try to convince you that they follow, this great man Paul. This great man Paul, that today they've made a liberalist out of him. You know, they feel like he can do anything and have the Holy Ghost. And they rely on Paul's teaching. But Paul was a strict, straight, godly person that condemned sin. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. I've heard that a lot of times. That's true. Jesus said, God didn't send me to condemn the world. You know why? He said you was condemned already. Condemned because of sin. The law condemned you. God condemned you because of your sin. Said, I came to save you. I didn't come to condemn you. But one thing Jesus said I did do, I come to condemn sin in the flesh. I can come to condemn sin in the flesh. And he said, if you walk after the flesh, you're going to be lost. If you walk after the flesh, you're going to die. If you live in the flesh, you're going to die. He said, but if you mortify the deeds of the body and live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and deny the lust of the flesh, you shall live. He said, but to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To think about the things of the world and let your mind dwell on the things of the world is to die. But to let your mind think on the things of God and meditate in the laws of God day and night, you can live. To keep your mind on Christ Jesus, stayed on Christ Jesus, is perfect peace. So he said, the doctrine of Christ, that we should abide in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is God's Word, for he was the Word made flesh. So then we say, God has something for everyone. But I want you to know tonight, God expects the same thing out of every one of you. He said, lest you all repent, ye shall likewise perish. Every one of you have to repent. Every one of you. A lot of people, when you talk about repenting, they say, well, there's the doctor, the lawyer, there's the professional men, the presidents, the senators. They can't leave their positions, Brother Pike, to do these things. I want you to know that if God himself could make a human body and step down into a muddy river and take time to go down and let a man baptize him in water, that means the president's got time to do it, and the dentist has got time to do it, and the doctor's got time to do it, and all the professional men have got time to do it. All of your priests, all of your great preachers. It'd be a sad situation for a doctor, dentist, priest, lawyer, president, senator to stand before Almighty God on that day. And they say, don't you know I was important? I didn't have time to repent or to go to church or to be baptized. And God says, let me tell you something. I'm God that created heaven and earth. And I took time to go down to a muddy river to be baptized. And I took time to come down there and show you a life of repentance and to walk the earth as a man so that you could know what to do. And when you stand and tell me that you don't have time, folks, let's don't be foolish. Let's don't be foolish. God's going to require it of them. They're not going to get by with it. They're not going to get by with it. Neither will you and I get by with it. Neither will we get by with it. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? I know it's hot tonight, but let's endure a little Calvary for Jesus, can we? This makes us think just a little bit about what we would have got. Just think what we would have got if Jesus hadn't endured the pain and the hardship and the misery and the inconvenience. Just think what we would have got. Oh, my brother, sister, just be grateful tonight. Just be grateful tonight. Hallelujah. All right. Let's just sing a little chorus here. While we sing this chorus, we're going to give you just a minute or two to step out and come to the altar tonight. You don't have to come to the altar to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the work within your heart. But it's like I said, bodily redemption requires actions and deeds. The Bible calls it the actions of the apostles or the acts of the apostles, the things that they did. You know a child by his doings. He that draweth nigh to me, God said, I'll draw nigh to him. So sometimes stepping out, sometimes making an effort, that's a confession a lot of times outwardly of our inner testimony of heart. That is a real confession of faith. It's when we act upon the Word. If God says repent and you repent, my brother, you acted on the Word. If Paul says be baptized and put on Christ, and you go get baptized, you've obeyed the Word. That's faith in the Word. But you can say you believe all you want to believe, and if you don't do the things that God commanded you to do in the Word, you are an unbeliever. That's why the writer said, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you what I believe by what I do. I'll show you my faith by the confession of my deeds. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? While we stand here for just a minute, I want you to sing this chorus with me again. We sang last night that chorus, I love Jesus. Let's sing it again tonight, can we? Oh, I love Him. I love Him. All because He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Now while we're singing, I want you to step out. Endure the heat a little bit. Shake yourself a little bit. Come on to the altar. Don't hurry the Spirit. In a little while, you'll be at home. The Bible said, take time to be holy. You know what? There was a man that gave God a little time. God added 15 years to his life because he took time for God. You can take 5 minutes away from God. God may take 5 years off of your life. You give God 5 minutes, God may give you 5 years more. A lot of people are in the grave tonight at an early age. A lot of people have died and passed on because they didn't have time to go to church. They didn't have time in God's house. They didn't have time to do something for God. The Bible said, take time to be holy. You'll never have time, but He said, take time to be holy. Taking a little time may add 10 years to your life. Taking a little time may cause God to look in your direction, and it may cause God to favor you when the death angel comes to press the life out of you. Because you had a little time for God, He may have a little time for you. So then we need to take time tonight for Jesus. The end of the world is coming. Beloved friend, it's like the song says, you got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to go there by yourself. Husband and wife can't go there for you. You got to go there by yourself. When you press your death pillow, Daddy may be standing there, Mommy might be standing there, brother, sister, friend, neighbor might be standing there, the doctor may be standing there. But when you press your death pillar, no one's going to be a consolation to you. No one's going to be a consolation to you. When the darkness begins to sweep over your mind and your eyes begin to close and that breath of life begins to leave you and you know they're fixing to put you in that hole and throw the dirt over you, when you realize they're fixing to take you down to the embalmers and nobody can help you, you're going to say, my God, Jesus, help me. Somebody said, well, I won't never call on Him. The Bible said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Every infidel, every devil, every demon. The Bible said everything in heaven, everything in the earth, everything under the earth, every creature in the sea said glory and honor and power and majesty be unto Him that liveth forever and ever. Everyone's going to confess. Now's the time to do it. Everyone's going to repent. But it might be like Esau. It might be too late. Now's the time to repent. If you want to repent, now's the time to do it while you got time. I'm doing my repenting now. You know, the Bible said that some men's sins go before them to the judgment. Some men's sins follow after them. You know, them that go before to the judgment are those that are confessed. You confess your sins, they go before you to the judgment. God blesses you and God judges you in mercy and God forgives you. But if you go unconfessed and you let your sins go unconfessed, then when you get to the judgment, those sins follow you. And you have to be judged according to the unconfessed sin, and God condemns you and puts you in the lake of fire. The Bible said death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire, and death and hell shall give up those that are in it. But, beloved, that don't mean that fire ain't eternal. Don't you never let nobody tell you that fire ain't eternal. The Bible said eternal flames. It calls it eternal flames. Eternal flames. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you know, when you say hell forever, forever don't mean forever. We're not talking about forever. Jonah was in the belly of the whale forever, which meant spaces of time. But I'm talking about eternal. The writer in the New Testament said these flames are eternal. And if eternal is not eternal there, then eternal is not eternal when you say eternal life. It said where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, an eternal flames. You can be sure that they're there. And the Bible said the wicked shall be cast into that lake of fire, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever. You love Jesus? Let's raise our hands together for just a minute. I wonder if I could get just a swatter of that water. Let's slip our hands up together. I love you tonight. That's why I tell you the truth. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. Search the word. See if it's in the word. If it's not in the word, don't have it. But if it's in the word, friend, don't you dare forsake it. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. You that are in the audience, would you close your eyes with me? Would you lift your hands up? Now you say, Brother Pike, I'm not a Christian. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everything in the ocean, the Bible said, every creature, even in the ocean, said, praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Whether you are a Christian or whether you're not, you're still living in this world and you're breathing His breath. Let's acknowledge the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. While we pray for you, friend that's around the altar here, and you that are in the audience, I want you to believe the Lord. You know one thing we need to learn to do, saints of God? The Bible said when you pray, believe. You know, it's no good to pray if you're not going to believe. That's why I say that you got to live right. The prayers of the wicked, they can pray. Wicked people can pray. But the Bible said all of their prayers is abomination in the sight of God. If they don't try to live for God, all of their prayers is abomination. They can give to God, but the Bible said all of their gifts is abomination in the sight of God. And He said, I'm angry with the wicked every day, and I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth. For the wicked is like the troubled waters of the sea that's ever casting their mire up upon the bank. And there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. So let's lift our hands up and call on Jesus. And let's believe in our heart and let's get right with God and start shaping up with the Lord this very night. Let's be holy in body and in spirit. Let's come out from among the things of the world and be a separate people. And let's pray, and when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. Let's believe tonight. Father of heaven, as I pray for these people tonight, I pray in the lovely name of your darling Son, Jesus. And I lift my hand to heaven, my Father, asking you tonight to heal these people. I ask you to set these people free tonight. I ask you to touch their bodies tonight. These bodily afflictions, I want you to heal, Father. I want you to break the yoke from off of these people. My God, I want you to leave a blessing on these people. I want you to lift the curse from these people. May your great spirit go out, O God. Father, you said if I come to a house, salute it. And O God, if you was there, that my peace would rest upon it. I salute this town, Father. I salute this people. I've got a salutation from Christ tonight, even as Elizabeth, Father, when Mary gave her the salutation of the salute. Oh, God, I leave the salutation of God upon this place tonight, trusting that it will not return to me, that I'll find peace in this place, and that they'll give peace in this place, and they'll receive the Prince of Peace in this place, and that we might let our peace rest upon it, that the curse might be lifted and the people might be blessed and the people might be healed. But Father, you said if we go into a city, heal the sick therein and preach the kingdom of God unto them. And oh God, tonight I pray for the healing of the sick here. I know that you're going to move in this town, Father. I know that people are going to be healed in this town. Father, people are going away from here healed, and you're going to do something for them. And I'm asking you tonight, in Jesus' name, save these people and forgive their sins, Father, and heal their sick bodies tonight. Do it in the wonderful name of the Son of God, even in Jesus' name tonight. I feel the yoke being broken. I feel the Holy Ghost moving. I feel God doing something. Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen, hallelujah. I feel God, hallelujah. I feel God's Spirit. Let's worship the Lord. Let's love the Lord. From night to night, let's get into these services. Let God bless us. I know it's hot here tonight, but God can cool things off. Isn't that right? God can cool things off. From night to night, as God begins to cool things off, we want to pray for the sick. Take a little time with you. Hold you a little longer. Tonight, I want you to lift your hands up with me. I prayed for you the whole tonight. I want you to worship the Lord tonight. As our brother Taylor comes, I want you to worship God. I want him to sing just a chorus or two with you. And I want you to worship God and utilize your ability in Christ tonight. I want you to lift up your faith tonight. When you pray, believe. I want you to lift up your faith tonight. Can you do that? Can you do that tonight? Can you do that? Can you let your minds be holy? Can you let your heart be holy? Can you let your thoughts be holy? Can you have holy thoughts tonight? Godly thoughts tonight? Faith in God tonight. Can you do that? Hallelujah. You want to go to heaven, don't you? Hallelujah.